I'm excited about this this sermon, and it's a little different. So let's get started. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4, starting with verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12. One of my favorite verses that I've learned to quote in my prayer life in the last probably year, year and a half, was 1 Corinthians, which one is it? The 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. I love that because I began to pray that scripture in my life. I want to see the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in my life for the common good, right? I want to see in our church the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. That's the manifestation, is the actual seeing it, the actual knowing that it's here. So I've been quoting that a lot. And not too long ago, I felt like God stopped me and said, what are the scriptures around that, your new favorite verse? What are the scriptures around it? Of course, I've read it, but I thought, well, let's read it again. Let's go over there and see what it is. And so I want to start with verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things and all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, just to get a good idea, I want to make sure that we realize that 1 Corinthians is for us. It was first read probably by the church of Corinth, but he says in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, comma, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Hey, that's me. Saints by calling. Well, no one's called me a saint yet, but I know what he's talking about. With all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So I feel like this is for me and you. This is for us today. I think it's important to kind of realize that sometimes. This isn't a fantasy book. This was for you today in 2021. And so looking at this, and I know that chapter 12 is where we normally go to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, that's the gifts of the Spirit, right? So, but in this, and he starts that way with verse 1, 12, 1, now concerning the spiritual gifts. But in this chapter, in this lesson about spiritual gifts, we get these three sentences. And when I read that, when God said, read what's around your new favorite scripture, and I read that, I felt like I was reading it for the very first time. Why have I not ever noticed this before? What is the significance of it? And is it relative to my life? Varieties of gifts, same Spirit. Varieties of ministries, same Lord. Varieties of effects, same God. It seemed like God wanted me to get something out of this. The gifts, Spirit, the ministries, Lord, effects, God. This three step process, if you will. So I began to do a little bit of study on each of these words because I want to know for sure what these words mean. Gifts, we'll start with, it's actually the same word in the King James Version as gifts, and it comes from the Greek word charisma. And I like to look it up in different sources. And Vine says, God's endowment upon believers by the operation of the Holy Spirit in the churches. It's an endowment, a free endowment. Now, this is not the same word that the Bible uses when it talks about just normal gifts. like when in Luke, when the wise men brought gifts to baby Jesus. That was a different word. It wasn't charisma. Charisma is used when typically when there is a work to be done. It's a tool, it's a gift, a tool, an ability given to you. Romans 11:29 also uses this word. The gifts or charisma and the calling of God are irrevocable. In Romans 12:6, since we have gifts, charisma, that differ according to given to each of us. So the most portrayed in the Bible with this word is believers for the kingdom get endowment. It's a gift given to you, like a tool. And then we get to ministries in verse 5. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. Ministries, in the King James Version, it's administrations. It comes from the Greek word diakonia. And its meaning is service or ministry. Those who execute the commands of others. Vine says the office and work of a servant. A couple of places that this word is used so we can get a good idea of what Paul's talking about when he uses this word, diakonia. It was used in Luke also with Martha and Mary, when Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha was in working, serving others, diakonia. It was used in Acts 6:1 when it says that they were daily giving food to the widows, diakonia. Biblically speaking, this word is commonly used to portray service or work, usually, number one, by the command of someone, and number two, for the benefit of others. Diakonia, service, work. It's almost like diakonia in this three-step process is the action part. And it is assigned to Jesus, gifts of the Spirit, work of Jesus, effects of God. And the work of Jesus is the action part of this relationship. Okay? Which begin to make sense to me because we read in places like John 12:49 and other places, Jesus says, listen, I'm not speaking in my own of my own initiative. I'm speaking what God is telling me to speak. I'm doing what my Father is telling me to do. It's the action part of this relationship. And I thought of, in the name of Jesus, we sang about that today, in the name of Jesus. And I just did a study in the New Testament about the words, in the name of Jesus, or when Jesus said, in my name. I looked at all of the places in the New Testament that had those phrases in there. Because in the name of Jesus is like, in those days, it's like saying by the command of Jesus or in the authority of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus. And I looked at all of the times in the New Testament, and there's a bunch of them. I was surprised. But just to list a few, I want you to see this. We pray in his name, baptized, we give in his name, we healed. Paul said he was ready to die for the name of Jesus. Justified by, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We gather, we perform miracles, cast out demons. Many times Jesus said, ask in my name. And the Holy Spirit is sent in his name. We proclaim in his name. All of these that I found are acts of service commanded by someone and done for someone else. The action part of this three-step process. Being active. That's the part of Jesus. That was assigned to Jesus. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Because, of course, now we are the ambassadors of Christ, as we read last week. In 2 Corinthians, we now take that role, and we are now the action part of it. but we do our action in the name of Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Varieties of ministries or work or effort, service, the same Lord. Let's go to verse 6 and look at the effects of God. What does effects mean? Effects comes from a Greek word, energema, and it's only used one other time in the New Testament, and that's four verses later in verse 10. And it says, and to another the effecting of miracles, energema. And this is, Vines put it like this, the effect produced by workings. It's what is wrought. It's like the outcome. I like to say it's the result of God. The result of this three-step process is assigned to God. And here's what God taught me about this. Because many of us these days are result-oriented, right? Because if the result of whatever we're doing turns out good, it makes us feel good. We get credit for that. Result-oriented. I know that it was worth doing because the results were good. Maybe I know that it's worth doing again because the results were good. Result-oriented. As a pastor, you know, I started pastoring this church, and one of the results that I wanted to see is 1,000 people in our auditorium. But I found out that sometimes being result-oriented can be flawed. Two reasons why being result-oriented is flawed. Number one, results are arbitrary. For instance, I want 1,000 people in our auditorium. Maybe that's not the results God wants. And I begin to think about this. I know of a church that has a little less than 200 people show up on Sunday morning, and they impact through their prayers and missions giving over thousands of people all across the world. It's this church, by the way. I also know of a church that I won't name that has more than 200. They have like 200, 400, 500 people in it, and the only people they impact is the people that walk in their doors. So, who's got the result that is going to be more beneficial to the kingdom of God? So results are arbitrary. So we can't really look at results always to know if we're doing the right thing or if we're going to do that right thing again. The other thing is, according to what we're learning here from Paul, is that results aren't even yours to worry about. That's not your business. Who's the author and finisher of your faith? Finisher. You're the middle guy. You obey. You do what you're supposed to do. And let God handle the results. Amen? Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Philippians 1:6 says this. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. The results of our efforts are up to God. When the results of your process, listen to this, becomes a reflection of you, then you probably skipped step two, and you're probably messing up step three. If we are wanting to control or cause the results that we're going to get in our process, it could be very well that we are taking God out of the equation. We're taking the supernatural out of the equation, and no longer are we going to get a desired result. Which, if you think about it, it's very freeing. I have far less pressure on me to get a result because the result is not my problem. It's not my responsibility. It's my responsibility to pray. It's God's responsibility to answer. It is up to me to spread the gospel. It's up to God to save. It's up for me to believe. It's up to God to heal. Right? Well, when I don't have to look and search and fight for results, I'm free, actually, to do just what God has given me to do, and that's all. Yeah! When you're praying for somebody, that healing is God's result. Yeah, there's things that you might do that's wrong, or there may be this, or there may be that, but when we're obedient, and we just do what God is telling us to do, the result is not up to us. That's all up to God. And that gives us even more freedom. Also, the results are not simply on the surface. We don't always see those things right off the bat. Let's take this three-step process, and I'll explain to you. This three-step process, he says, the gifts of the Spirit, the ministries, or the working, the effort of Jesus, and he says the effects or the results of God. Now, what I liken this to is this. If I had someone come up here, an artist, and he was going to paint a picture for you, the tools that he has, the paintbrush, the palette, and the paints, those are tools, abilities that would be given to the painter, to the artist. The Holy Spirit would give those to him. Jesus would be the one that actually doing the painting. He knows what it's supposed to look like because he's got close ties with God. He's the action part of it. The results is the actual painting. And it may not be just looking at it right now, but maybe 10 years from now someone looks at this and it makes them feel something. That's the effects. That's the results of something. We don't always know what those results are going to be. The gifts of the Spirit. For you guys out there, let's do it this way. The gifts of the Spirit is like a shovel. Ministries of the Lord is like you digging, and the effects is the ditch. Oh, and the guys are like, oh, yeah, okay. I get it now. But see, there's one commonality. One thing that all of these three steps have in common, all right? And that is you. None of these actually work without mankind, without you being in there. See, you are giving the abilities, the tools, the Holy Spirit is equipping you. You are doing the work of the Lord in the name of Jesus. You are doing the work, you're doing the ministry, and God's taken over and control of the effects or the results. This three-step process, four parts of it because you are involved now. 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul is talking about when Apollos, one of his partners, comes by. Apollos waters and I come by and I help with this and that, and he's talking about in ministry, different people doing different things. And he says this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Created in Christ for good works. 2 Peter 1:4. For by these he was granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. The word there, partakers, literally means partner or associate. We were designed to partner with God. I want you to think about that. You are designed to partner with God. Michael Heisman is a scholar, a biblical scholar that I like to read, and one time he tweeted this. He said, Garden of Eden was more than God's home. It was his home office, and he created mankind to partner with him in creation. God designed it that we would be partners with him in everything that he needs to have happen. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came to earth and he listened to God and he got his instruction and his example from his Father and he pointed people towards God. He partnered with God in that. And now that Jesus is gone, we become the ambassador for Christ. We become the one that goes to the people and reconciles people towards him, towards God. I was listening to an interview this week. The actor, Jonathan Roomby, plays the role of Jesus in the TV series Chosen, which is a great series in my personal opinion. But he plays Jesus, and someone asked him about the weightiness of playing the Son of God and how that changes a person when he's playing the very Son of God. And he said, yeah, it's kind of a big deal. You know, it feels weird. It's not just acting a certain part, but he says, I'm actually saying the words and doing the deeds and doing the things that Jesus was doing in his days here on earth. And he says it's pretty large. He said, I had to come to terms with the fact that I believed God chose me to represent his son in this movie. And a light bulb went off and I said, he did me too. God chose me to represent Jesus in this world. That's the partnership. And the beauty of it is, however good or bad you think you are, God is choosing you to represent Jesus, to represent his son here on earth. I know, right? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It is very weighty. But this is why it's important, I found out, to understand this three-step process, this partnership, because if we're in partnership with the Trinity, all right, and we're getting things done, and we're wanting to be profitable for this organization, it's going to be important for me to know who my partners are and know what my role is and what their role is, because oftentimes I get antsy about stuff and I begin to take on things that are not in my job description. I want to get things done and I take it out of God's hands. But I know that this organization and my life is going to be more successful if I know how to work with the partners that I have worked with. And I know what their responsibility is, and I know what my responsibility is. Amen? So that we can accomplish the common good. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Basically, this word is, like I said before, profitable. What is profitable for the organization? To find out what's profitable for any organization or any company is finding out what that company values. What is valuable to that organization? And it's easy to see what's valuable to God, because what did God pay the biggest price for? That's right. You and me. To reconcile, Jesus said specifically, to reconcile, which is to restore relationship between man and God. What God values most is relationship with his people. To reconcile that relationship. So, what's profitable for this organization is for me to grow my relationship with God and influence others to do the same. Now, here's what's interesting. If that's what's profitable, that's the common good. Because common good actually becomes a pretty broad term in this sense. If I'm restoring relationship between God and man, a lot of things in my life come into play when I think about what's commonly good for my relationship with God. Once again, Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to this purpose. I believe that God is teaching us that in everything that we do, God wants to partner with you. If you accept God as your partner in every aspect of your life, that's going to profit with all. That's going to be profitable to the organization. And I'm not saying just getting rich or getting nice things or stuff like this, but partnering with God, knowing what a final result should look like only through his eyes. What is profitable to God is that which would benefit your relationship with him and your influence on others to the same goal. God is concerned with every aspect of your life. We are partnering with him in life, and he's concerned with everything that goes on in your life, and he wants to partner with you about it. Are you raising children? God wants to partner with you on your child rearing. Is that going to be profitable for the kingdom? Good kids, yeah. Are you starting a business? Partner with God. Do you want to do well at school? That's going to be beneficial for you and in the organization. Partner with God. Bring God into the equation. Bring the supernatural into your partnership so that your results can then be supernatural as well. Are you starting a new job? You want to influence your career? You want to grow your career? Partner with God. So, three things here. Realize who your partners are. Be aware of their responsibility and yours, and don't overstep your job description. That's easy to do for us, because Americans are very result-oriented. We want to overstep our job description sometimes to get things done like we feel like it's going to wind up and it should be done. But sometimes we should just leave the results to God. Right? Are you with me on that? You going to work on that with me as well this week? Would you stand with me if you would, please?